Welcome to The Worth Project, a show about money, life, and what makes it good. I'm Erica.
And I'm Jordan. We're two recovering type A corporate career professionals with a mortgage, a really cute baby, and a quirky dog. We're setting out on a different journey to live a life that's better than fine.
We're focusing on small changes that will hopefully lead to big results, while having the conversations that are missing in real life.
We interview experts and some people we think are just really cool and already living that great life.
This is our Worth Project. What's yours?
Today, we have our first guest. I was hoping for a personal friend or acquaintance to be on her first interview, but Erica did what she does and asked a celebrity. Well, a celebrity to me anyways. Erica has no shame to ask what she wants.
You've always got to ask.
He has been named one of the 35 most influential people in financial services and has been inducted into the Financial Planning Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's a Financial Planning Hall of Fame. We had no idea.
No
either.
Idea. We use his book and website to change our life trajectory. Whew, that sounds big.
It was big. His books and trainings are all about freedom. So for 30 years, he was a practicing financial planner and tax advisor, mostly a psychologist, which was clearly a very introspective client base. He developed and honed his methodology for sparking the torch within his clients. So a torch that leads them to live the life that they want right now. As a financial planner, he makes the money work. Internationally recognized as the father of life planning, he took time out of his busy book launch, and this is his fourth book, by the way, to sit with us.
We're happy to have on George Kinder, author of Life Planning for You, the man behind the three questions we discussed in episode one.
So financial planning usually focuses on retirement as a big goal, and we don't like the idea of really only saving for life 30 or more years in the future. So George didn't like that either. So he talks about small actions we can take today to get big results.
Exactly. So get your vision boards out as George distills the small actions you can take to start living your ideal day or life now. Thanks for joining us, and let's get into the interview.
Hi, George. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us today.
Thanks, Erica. Nice to be here.
Well, it's a treat for Jordan and I to have you on the show because we read your book, Financial Life Planning for You. 8 months ago, we started down this process, and that was really the impetus to starting this podcast. So it is such a treat to have you on as our guest number one here. And I'd say we've always been very goal-driven people, but this was the only process that has actually worked for us to not only create financial goals, but also create a life that we love. So first of all, a big thank you, but also we're just so excited to share more of what you do. So can you tell us a little bit about how you even started down this journey? Because I know you did a form of financial life planning on yourself before you even called it that. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah, well, I think I had a life that isn't that different from most people's lives. That I think people are very lucky who find just the right thing to do when they start off. But I had a passion both for living a creative life and also a passion for living a spiritual life. And there was a saying back at the time when I was growing up that you do what you love and the money will follow. But nobody would ever pay me for one of my poems. and they wouldn't pay me to meditate either. So I had to find a way to make a living. And I was good in finance. I was good in numbers. And so I started doing that. But I kept the passion alive for kind of who I wanted to be and how I wanted to be in life. That isn't always easy for us. But I somehow managed to. And then after really learning and to some degree mastering many of the arts of being a financial services person, a financial advisor, I realized that what I could help people with the most was rediscovering their dreams and keeping their dreams alive and then finding the most rapid way to accomplish those dreams. So that was it gave me passion in my life to always have that first and foremost in my life. And it became a great joy as a financial person to bring that same freedom, which is how I think of it, delivering freedom to people, into other people's lives.
You talk about this concept of freedom, because I think that was one of the most like eye-opening kind of ideas for me in the whole book, was that really what we're all looking for is freedom. And that's something that we can get with our, that's something that we can use money to help us accomplish in our life. So can you talk a little bit more about how you came up with this, like how you identified that freedom was something that was really core to what people wanted and desired?
Well, I think it came up in two ways. And one of them is related to financial planning. And one of them is related to the spiritual work that I do and I practice. In terms of financial planning for myself, I felt trapped being a financial person in the early days. So the main thing I was doing was tax returns in the early days. And so the image was a pretty easy one for me to go, I want to be free. I want to be free of this. And I think that's also a universal feeling around money. If you go all around the world and you go to countries much poorer than what we find in America, you find people who want to be free, who want to find freedom, and their image is that money will bring it. But what we don't realize is that money is also a trap, that we can get trapped kind of on the kind of the rat race of money, of chasing after money, and then get lost in kind of the darkness of it in a way. I mean, we seem to be doing everything just fine, but it's not who we meant to be, and it's not who we really long to be. So freedom, I just realized that for me, and then as I talked with my clients, I realized that it's the same thing for all of us, that we all want freedom in our lives. And if we go through a process, which is what you went through when you studied the Life Planning for You book and the website, when you go through a process to articulate what that dream is, that it becomes so inspiring that you can't help but step into the dream and begin to live that way. So that's one aspect of freedom. And I would say the other aspect, in a way, I think of these are as aspects of self-knowledge. So one aspect of freedom or self-knowledge is knowing what brings us alive, what makes us really vital. And the other aspect is an aspect that has to do with listening. And it's listening deep inside ourselves. And you can find it in virtually any spiritual tradition, the contemplative kind of listening. I do it with mindfulness practice. But it gives you a kind of a grounding in just being yourself. So there's an authenticity that's quiet and at ease there. And then there's an authenticity in the life planning process that also brings tremendous vitality and energy.
We definitely felt that energy when we did it together. It was... yeah, rewarding doing three questions. I know we're doing it by ourselves, just without a financial life planner. But yeah, it was a lot of fun when we did it together. Really opened our eyes and we were able to talk to each other a lot more.
It was, it's fascinating, Jordan. That's really a thrill to hear. And how wonderful that you did it yourselves and you did it and you shared it. That sometimes even in a relationship, people can feel trapped and feel that they don't dare reveal what would be freedom for them because their partner might think that it threatens their freedom or what their dream is. So just wonderful that you did that. And that's the way I believe. I think that all couples should do this together.
Yeah, it was finally the first time that I think we were able to stop looking at the things that money can buy us. So like saving up for this house, saving up for our child's college education, saving up for all of these things, and instead, you know, kind of transforming how we live with our money and making really big choices like that.
Yeah, because we've always, like we said, been really good with goal setting and setting out those goals, but it was always kind of with the wrong aim, not really like something to light our torch or go for our vision. So that's one of the things. What makes us so different than goal setting?
Yeah, a lot of financial people talk about being goal-based and even values-based. But a lot of times it's just putting it on a grid. and then weighing it with numbers and weighing it with time frames. But what I think the process that we've done, that you went through, particularly the three questions, what we really try to do with those questions and also with what you know as the heart's core grid, what we try to do is to separate, to winnow the goals, to separate what are more mundane goals, and those are more the material goals often, from the goals that would really, you know, make you passionately alive, excited, or profound, or touch you in a profound way. So we do that by asking in the three questions, two of them, as you know, are legacy questions. They're life and death questions. So we go into a deep place to discover what you've missed, who you've not gotten to be, that would really make a difference in your life.
Yeah, Eric actually started crying when she got to those goals.
The third question, I was just a total mess. How did you come up with those three questions? Because I know the book is wonderful and all of like the ideal day exercise and everything that you have is so wonderful. But those three questions just really, they just get you exactly where you need to be with your vision.
Just dive right into it or just, you know, pinpoint it.
Yeah. How did you develop those?
Years ago, one of the first things I did as a financial advisor when I was shifting from my tax practice to a financial practice was I went to one of the early meetings. I think it was the first or second meeting of the organization called NAPFA, which was the first fee-only organization in America. And at that organization, there was a workshop on goals. And I think that two of the goals were similar. One of them was if you had all the money you needed. That's kind of a frequent one that people use anyway. And the other one was something about, a few years left or something like that. And I started using them with clients. And then I would realize that the question 5 to 10 years left really didn't work particularly for women who had not had kids. Because a lot of times they would go, well, I guess maybe there's not time to have kids if I only have 5 to 10 years left.
Oh, okay. Cut it short.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd hate to just leave them. So I knew I needed another question. And so this question of the, you know, kind of the deathbed question, if you just have 24 hours left and what did you miss? Who did you not get to be? Well, that would bring up the kids, wouldn't it?
I mean, that would be better.
I mean, if that's a passion for you, that's going to be there. I didn't get to really have kids and spend my life with them, spend my time with them. But it happened over a period of years and working with clients. All the time working for trying to get toward deeper and deeper and as you saw it, something was quicker, something that really got it right away. And the three questions tends to get it for people right away.
What I love about this process. You can tell you've like evolved and improved it over the decades. It's been around for a while now. So What kind of changes have you seen people make in their lives?
Yeah. Jordan, I think the most amazing thing is how much joy I've seen come into people's lives all over the world. I can tell you details, but it's the thing that is universal is joy and certainly freedom as part of that, but a sense of just the world is their oyster to do what they want and to make a difference in. So that's been phenomenal. I think that if you come down to the details of what shifts and how it shifts. I think the how it shifts is that people realize that they're working hard, as Erica, you and Jordan were hard, but for things and for things that cost a lot or that take a lot of time, but that they're not really who you really would want to be if you were to design your life from the get-go. And so people change, and what they do more than anything is they find more time. So one of the surprising things is delivering 10 hours more a week for someone who's working in an institutional kind of job, a corporate job, and just saying, take it, you know, negotiate for it. But it's basically driven by something. It may be driven because they want to have a great relationship with their 6-year-old son, or it might be driven because they really want to write, you know, the great American novel, and they need a good day a week and some time on the weekend to do it. So we give them a day and we just say, what if you only work 4 days a week? Would that do it? Would you be able to write this novel? Would you be able to heal your relationship, have a great relationship with your son? And they, you know, they light up, as you can imagine. It's like, I think it's for you, maybe like going to Hawaii, but they just go, wow, that's amazing. Yes, that would be fantastic. But I don't know if I can do it. You know, my boss and all that. And I've got these bills to pay and all that kind of stuff. And so what we do is what's been amazing. Well, first of all, we give them some support around that. We'll give them some financial, you know, data and information. Often if you're working 4 days a week, you can. What's been surprising, when people have gotten an extra 10 hours a week, they've actually worked harder. Mm-hmm. In the 30 to 40 hours a week that they're still working, and they've produced more because they've got freedom in their life. So they don't feel this weight of, you know, kind of despondency that comes when you're not doing what you really love to do. So that's a classic, that people take more time and from their jobs, but manage to be more productive at them, far more productive at them, and in the meantime, claim who it is that they really want to be. We've also had people travel around the world. We've had people climb mountains and do all kinds of artwork. We've had I've seen people heal relationships that have been broken for years. And just really, feeling bad about it, and just taking the time and getting out there and doing something about it. So wonderful things, people moving, as the two of you.
yeah, that got us really. It definitely lit a fire in us to finally make the move that we've always wanted to make, or have wanted to make for the last 6 years. So
yeah, and I'm still working with my corporate job too, which I love, but it's like you said, it helps. Yeah, now that I kind of see where we're going, it does like give me a new fresh energy to apply myself and work hard at it, knowing that I know where I'm
and see what else is possible. Within your corporate job, it's not just about completely uprooting everything that you know. It's figuring out, you know, how we can make this work. Mm-hmm. Are there any instances where people start to kind of limit themselves and censor themselves with these dreams or these goals? And if so, like, how do you identify when people are really just starting to kind of hold back and say, you know what, never mind, that's not for me. Like, I could never do that because of these other stories they're telling themselves about who they are.
Right. Well, in a way, that's why we train people. As you probably know, even though you did it through reading the book and the website, we've trained a few thousand advisors all over the world, and we've trained them to do something. And Jordan, you mentioned the word earlier in a conversation. We train them to do something we call lighting the torch, which means the client becomes just alive as you are with their dream, with who they want to be. And when that happens, they pretty much don't veer from it. But in the conversation, as the obstacles begin to come up, the challenges begin to come up to making that shift, they may begin to have some doubt. And what we train the advisors to do is to relight the torch, is just to remind them that, man, this is what you were born for. This is who you were meant to be. This is who you long to be. And you've put it off for so long. And if you put it off again, you might not ever get there. So we just remind them. of how important it is.
Do you give any training or help or suggestions for people who maybe aren't limiting themselves but are kind of struggling under the weight of other people's expectations? So to give an example, like, I have decided what I want with my life, and Jordan and I are very excited for this next step, but there is a part of me that hesitates explaining it to friends and family and former coworkers because I feel like it's not what they would expect me to do.
That's a deep one right there. She's got some pressure on her.
And I'm going in different directions on it. I think in terms of expressing it to others, this is where meditative skill would come in handy. What I would do is I'd probably spend some time meditating and then going to them in a very grounded place when I knew that it was time to talk with them. I'd go to them in a very grounded place, just really knowing this is who I am. I'm so excited. I love it. Bringing myself down from the fire, the entrepreneurial fire that you find yourself in, the excitement, so that you can look them, kind of eyeball to eyeball, and they can see your sincerity, your authenticity, your earnestness of purpose, and your strength of character and your wisdom around it. So I think that's would be the main thing that I would do if it were about explaining to others. If it's there's an exercise, as you know, that we do called the heart's core, where we split a person's goals into what is they're passionate about in their heart, what they feel they ought to do or they should do, and then what would be fun to do. And oftentimes in the ought to column of that exercise come up all the things that kind of our parents would have told us to do in some, you know, all the shoulds and everything. And what I say about that column when I work with a client around it is I talk to them about that's they're regressing really to being children again. And that column, the best thing to do with that column is to play devil's advocate with it and to outsource it. So whatever's in the ought to column, you either just get rid of because it's not going to get you to where you really want to go, or find a way to outsource it, because often our tax returns are in that column, you know, and you got to get them done. So it's a good thing to outsource.
Oh, I like that advice. And I like both pieces of advice. And I especially really like the going in with a really grounded, you know, this is who I am and my excitement for it. Now I'm excited to go call up some people and have this discussion with them.
Yeah, because even earlier today, someone asked, like, oh, so when are you guys moving home? And Erica, yeah, kind of dodged around her, talked around her. Oh, we're moving maybe to the Bay Area or back home.
We might also move to Hawaii. I don't know. I skirt the issue so much because I just, I have trouble communicating it to other people. So,
yeah. You know, it's wonderful that you're doing it. It's wonderful that you're doing it as a couple. You've got great strength right there.
Yeah, strength in numbers there to support each other.
That's true. You help me and I'll help you. Let's say, I mean, we've already done this and we've gone through the three questions and sat down with our numbers because that's really what we enjoy doing in creating our own financial plan. What if somebody's listening to this and they're like, all right, I'm ready to, you know, do these three questions, visit your website, get the book. I'm not quite ready to work with a financial planner yet. What are some immediate steps that they can take to maybe start kind of inching towards their vision? You know, because you talk a lot about seeing progress rather quickly in this because people are so excited. How can they channel that excitement?
Well, I think that every day that we waste doing something that is not what we're really passionate about, what really brings us alive, and what doesn't express who we really are, is a loss to the world as well as to ourselves. So I would what I would recommend is getting on the website. It's really simple to do. This is the Life Planning for You website. And go through the exploration process and the vision process. and see what comes up for you. And if you see that something is there that you really aren't doing, I would live into the dream. I would paint the picture for myself. And I would probably try to find also a person or several people who would be wonderful supports to help me feel strong about who it is that I want to be, who would really believe in me. And I might also look for someone who could make me accountable to making those changes. So those might be two different people. But that's what I would do. I would go at it in an earnest way, a sincere way, but I wouldn't waste time going to the site, because it really is a sad thing. It's one of the saddest things I think in life, that so many of us aren't living with the fullness of our energy, into life, the fullness of our vitality. I think it's a shame all over the world, for civilization. Life planning methodology is something that I think is required all over the world and required for a great civilization.
Yeah. So just to kind of break that down a little bit. So if somebody is really like excited and they're passionate, so, you know, going to your site, getting the tools necessary, and then getting an accountability partner could be a really big help. So let's say that they've decided that they do want to spend more time writing and write the great American novel. And I think you had that example in your book of somebody who wanted to spend more time writing. So maybe it is having that accountability partner to make sure they actually follow through with negotiating with their boss to get some time off or get a flexible work schedule. So getting somebody that can kind of hold you to like the fire a little bit and make sure you
remind
get those
you,
things done.
Remind you what your torch is. It's like the life planner would.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it might be two functions. It might be a real support function where the person just absolutely thinks the world of you and wants you to be who you want to be, period. And it might be another person who's more kind of holding your toe to the line, so to speak. Those might be two functions. They could happen in one person, but it could be in two.
Excellent.
Well, that's, and a great prelude to also, life planning can tell us its natural progression to your new book coming out, A Golden Civilization and the Map of Mindfulness. And I've been reading on the website and, looking forward to it. But can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, I'm very excited about it, Jordan. I believe it or not, I've been reading it and rereading it.
Wow.
Part of it is because we're putting it on, it'll be the first book I've done as an audiobook. And now I'll probably do a couple others as audiobooks soon thereafter, after we launch this. But it may be the best book I've ever written. And it feels like it's in such an important time. There you are in England coming back to America, and both England and America have gone through a period of these last couple of years where people are questioning their civilization, their democracy, their kind of their society, and they feel polarized and have difficulty communicating with others about some things that are very important for their countries. So it feels as if, this isn't really a political book, and yet it touches on some of those themes. So just as with life planning, my image is that if we all were to design a vision of a great civilization, my hunch is we'd come up with the same thing, that we'd come up with a civilization, the essence of it would all be the same. It would have kindness in it. It would have respect in it. It would have vitality in it. It would have creativity in it. It would have love and compassion and empathy and great listening in it. It would have the same thing. And in fact, we've created conversations now all over the world. There have been 40 of them that have happened over the last 6 months, and we're aiming for thousands over the next couple of years, where we start off visioning what would a golden civilization look like? So that's the premise of my book, is that if we vision it, we can then make it happen. And so it's really visioning a world that's out there perhaps a few hundred years, perhaps a few thousand years, and then challenging ourselves to throw out all the systems or structures that wouldn't get us there that we have right now and adopt all those that would, so that we can adopt it and make it happen within a generation, within 20 years. So it's a similar theme to life planning. I think of it as life planning civilization. And I couldn't be more excited about it because, as I say, I've engaged in conversations now. We've had conversations all over the world, and you can see that on the golden, it's called agoldencivilization.com. On that website, you can see that and how to create the conversations. And the book gives new ideas about democracy and economics, about the media and leadership, entrepreneurial activity and mindfulness. There are lots of new ideas that I predict you haven't heard before.
Well, thank you so much, George. This was so, so very exciting to have you. And we are really excited for your new book to come out. So can you tell us where our listeners can find you if they want to learn more?
Yes. They're probably the two easiest websites are thekinderinstitute.com. It's actually just www.kinderinstitute.com. And that's where they'll find out all about life planning. And I think it mentions the Life Planning For You website. That, of course, that's another one, Life Planning For You. The four is spelled out F-O-R, lifeplanningforyou.com. And then the third one about golden civilization is just simply agoldencivilization.com.
And what day does the book get released?
March 4th.
March 4th. Excellent. Yeah. Very soon. Yeah. Coming up.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
That was so fun talking to George.
It was.
Let's recap that. There are three main takeaways that we learned from this podcast. Number one, if you're not ready to work with a financial planner just yet, I don't blame you. You can start making progress today to channel your excitement. In the next episode, we actually share the small changes we've made to our life while making the money work. And it's incredible how, once you stop thinking about making a change and actually start making the change, you gain a lot of momentum.
Yep. You've actually got to start doing the things. So takeaway number two is go to lifeplanningforyou.com. If you've kind of been a little stuck on, you know, what exactly you want to do and you feel like you just keep swimming around with the same ideas and not really landing on anything, you want to go to that website and start the exploration and vision process. So go through the questions, the three questions we, you know, highly recommend, and see if something comes up that makes you realize you aren't living a life that like truly fits the vision that you have. So as George says, live into the dream and paint a picture for yourself that really comes alive and makes you excited.
And to do that, it helps out with takeaway number three. Go find an accountability partner. Someone who can be your rock, your support. Someone who makes you feel strong, believes in you, and makes you accountable. It could be two people. Don't stress it. Just go do it.
Yeah. And I think my personal takeaway for this is that the most important part, you know, you go figure out what you want and, you know, start making some small actions. But the most important part, I think, is having an accountability partner. It's huge. Like a financial planner might be that person, but it doesn't have to be. For me, it's actually you, Jordan. So, you know, how many times have I gotten really nervous, like about what we're doing? And you've kind of always been the person to give me that pep talk and help me kind of push through it and keep going. Like, so whether it's taking on more work in the business or putting myself out there so we can continue to build that business, or maybe helping me recover from a spending issue or a retirement saving mistake like what I just made recently, having somebody like you to get me back on the right track or just encourage you to keep going is so important. So George mentioned it could be a friend, it could be your mom, it could be another family member, anyone who is supportive and is going to make you feel strong and like make sure you don't give up on yourself. It's really important.
I appreciate you. If you want links to everything we talked about here, head to theworthproject.co/podcast, and you'll find all the show notes under episode 2.
Thanks for listening to The Worth Project, a show about money, life, and what makes it good.
Spring is out early over here in London. Parts of the US are thawing out too. Perfect time to put the headphones in, go for a walk in the fresh air, and listen to more of The Worth Project. We'd love for you to keep listening. Keep listening for 2 reasons. Learn from our Worth Project and get tips to start your own Worth Project. Hit that subscribe button to get the latest download every Tuesday.
And we'd love your feedback. So please rate, review, and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.